This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program.
I'm able to live my life and still hit my goals.
Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
You've seen the headline, Jim Beam is shutting down production.
No!
Well, it's okay, Wes, because the headline sounds a little more alarming than it actually needs to be. This is about capacity management, a business decision, not a collapse, and we're going to get into the details, so stick around. Disclaimers, this episode does use publicly available statements and industry data. Specific production figures are directional estimates. It's not internal disclosures. We don't have access to every bit of the information we want. And this is meant to focus on long-term industry health. It's not necessarily going to affect short-term availability. So what is Jim Beam actually shutting down? Because all the headlines made it sound like they're just closing the plant and Jim Beam's going away because they wanted to use clickbait. I'll probably use a little bit of clickbait in this title so that you'll click on this video, but you're going to get the straight truth from us if you just stick around. So what they're actually doing is pausing distillation at their Claremont, Kentucky facility. And it's not a permanent closure. Other operations in the Jimothy Beam family are going to be, it's not Jimothy Beam, we know that, but it's, Wes and I like to make jokes. In the Jim Beam family, there's other operations that are going to remain active during this time. And the parent company, Beam Suntory, described the move as just basically capacity management. So how much whiskey are we talking about? Well, Jim Beam is the largest bourbon producer in the world by some estimations. I've heard different numbers. I don't exactly know what their daily barrel capacity is. And if I ever got the chance to ask, I'd probably get the numbers for one facility and not the combined facility. So I think that number is probably more likely a calculation of Beam Suntory's production and not the Claremont, Kentucky facilities number. But suffice it to say, they're one of the largest bourbon producers. But the Claremont portion represents a meaningful, but it's still amount, but it's still a partial share of their total capacity. So the pause likely defers hundreds of thousands of barrels annually, but not millions. So how does this compare? Because it's hard for an individual consumer to wrap their heads around. What does it mean to take 200,000 barrels worth of whiskey out of capacity? What does that mean? Well, right now, Kentucky holds around 14 million aging barrels of bourbon. So 1 year's worth of Claremont, Kentucky production only represents a tiny fraction of the total whiskey that's aging. And for reference, the Heaven Hill Distillery was doing about 1,700 barrels of whiskey a day. Buffalo Trace was doing about 1,200 barrels of whiskey a day until they doubled their capacity with the distillery expansion. They could go up to 2,400, which if they had ever put full capacity online, I think that would have made them the largest single producer bourbon / American whiskey, because Jack Daniel's was at about 2,200 barrels per day. So I could assume, and then if you look at a distillery like Four Roses, they're about 400 barrels a day. And so I'm guessing the Claremont, Kentucky was on the higher end of those production numbers. So something, over 1,000 barrels a day. Let's call it, there's 220 production days a year. You're probably talking about 225,000 barrels that won't get made, but we got 14 million aging. So we're probably gonna be okay. Jim Beam already has years worth of whiskey aging, and we've seen some higher age statements come out of Jim Beam, like the Knob Creek 21. And so I don't think that they're going to pause production and slow growth. And I don't think that they're trying to create scarcity or anything like that. I think that they have run their numbers, right? And they've looked at their demand planning that they've had in the past. They realized that they were a little over exuberant. They've got more barrels than they expect to need. They're going to have plenty of barrels to be able to fulfill their aging requirements in the future. And so this is just demand normalization after years of aggressive forecasting. I think they're facing rising inventory carry costs, as everybody is, as the price of everything has gone up. I'm sure that they have some lines of credit. They're having higher interest rates impacting barrel financing. You've got slower sell-through in higher volume segments because we are seeing a reduction of consumption of alcohol as drinkers are aging out of the drinking game. The newer people that would normally backfill that gap are choosing either not to drink, or they're choosing alternatives like plant-based medicines or marijuana being legalized in many states has affected it. And so, you know, this is probably a pretty smart move. And I don't think if you are a Jim Beam fan that in the long run, this is going to have any actual impact on your ability to get your favorite products. Welcome back to Pretentious Whiskey Reviews. Today, we're evaluating the 1982 Pappy Van Winkle. Ooh, I'm detecting a hint of Bolivian virgin tears and East Indian. No, West Indian grasses.
Y'all, you don't need all that crap. All you need is an American Whiskey Aroma Kit from bourbonrollstock.com. Developing your palate is a learned skill. Over time, you can train your taste buds without being a douchebag. Get yours today at bourbonrollstock.com.
I'm also getting Indian nutmeg.
The next question is, will other distilleries follow suit? And I'd have to say yes. We've already seen some expansion delays and some capital pauses on some already existing expansion projects where the bank just said, hey, let's pump the brakes. We don't want to keep pouring money into this project because now it looks like our projections are wrong and we're not going to need this capacity. So we don't want to bring this capital online any further and continue to put a financial strain on a business that could kill it and end up having to force it into bankruptcy, like have happened to some of the distilleries out there. And so far, all of the large distilleries have been able to avoid those kinds of consequences. But smaller distilleries are going to feel the impact of this shift first. And larger producers who act earlier are going to avoid the most severe corrections and consequences of the shifting market. So what happens if distilleries don't cut back? Well, you're going to have oversupply like we did in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. That's going to lead to price collapse. It's going to destroy margins. It's going to lead to layoffs and brand closures. It's going to lead to production.
Yeah! Whoa!
I'm okay!
Hey, do you love adventure? Do you love outdoor sports? Would you like to learn more and hear from amazing adventure athletes from all over the world? If so, then check out the Adventure Sports Podcast. We've been the premier platform for sharing adventure for more than 10 years now. We help you get your adventure on. Look for the Adventure Sports Podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Get out there and have some fun.
Facilities shutting down like we saw with the Stitzelweller distillery in the past. And something that is very important for you to understand as a consumer is that if you don't have these kinds of corrective actions going into place, eventually the negative consequences are going to lead to real people losing their jobs. And so this is a move that Jim Beam needed to make to protect the future for their employees. So how's this gonna affect consumers? There's not gonna be any immediate shortage. There's not gonna be any sudden price spikes. I think we're just gonna see healthier producers in the future and more stable long-term employment opportunities for those who depend on the bourbon industry. And this is gonna help Jim Beam preserve, right? It's gonna protect their balance sheet and make it stronger. It's gonna allow them to maintain pricing discipline, avoid flooding the market with excess whiskey, and it's gonna position the brand to be able to survive through this cycle. And so my thoughts were that this was a disciplined decision that needed to be made. And people matter more than volume. And I say that because you all out there in the whiskey world that, you know, remember the days of camping outside of a liquor store to try and get a bottle of, you know, some special release, right? Some of you have become jaded and have stopped to realize the implications of a massive shift in the industry, right? And you go, good, I hope there's a collapse. Finally, I'll be able to get the whiskey I want at a reasonable price. But that's why I said people matter more than volume, because you all have to understand that if there were a collapse, it wouldn't just mean that you'd be able to buy bottles of whiskey at a lower price. It would have long-reaching implications for real people and their jobs and how they take care of their families. And in the end, I think you would end up losing more than you would gain, because it wouldn't just be about finding some good whiskey. It would be about losing brands that represent part of America's heritage. And I don't want to see that happen. And I don't want the good people that help make this beautiful brown spirit to have to go through that downturn and struggle. So I want to see strong companies who make these kinds of decisions early. So anyway, off of my soapbox, I do have to apologize. Obviously, I'm a little bit late in reporting this, but Wes and I record these episodes in batches because of his travel back and forth to the Dominican Republic, doing his ministry down there. And the last time we recorded, no joke, he had just left. I walked down to the kitchen. My phone made a noise. I looked at it, and it was the notification that Jim Beam had shut down production. And I thought, dang it, information I could have used 2 hours ago. So we had to wait until the next recording session. But I wanted to get my word out there, and hopefully this was helpful to you. Now, we always give away some whiskey on every episode, and today's not going to be an exception. We're going to give away some Jim Beam products. One of my favorite Jim Beam products is the Knob Creek 12-year. It's got quite a nice balance of the sweet bourbon flavors and a little bit of oak influence. But one of the first Beam products that I ever bought was Booker's. Because when I first started looking for bottles, I would go and I'd say, do you have anything that's special? And I remember I was at a Specs, and the guy said, have you ever had Booker's? And I said, no. And he said, well, it's special, and it's cash strength, so it's got a lot of oomph and a lot of flavor. And so I bought one. And then later, I kept it in my real estate office, and this woman came in, and she said she was having a bad day because one of her deals fell apart, and she wanted a drink. And I said, what do you drink? She said, bourbon. I said, okay. And so I poured her some, and I handed her the glass, and I started to warn her that this was not normal 80-proof bourbon. And before I could get that out, she slammed it back, snorfed the whiskey, started choking, and I thought she was going to die. So that was my early experience with Booker's. But so we've got two Booker's and Knob Creek 12. We're going to do 3 5-ounce sample pack winners. All you have to do to enter to win is like this video, subscribe to the channel, ring the bell on YouTube to be notified of future content pieces and future giveaways, because there's a giveaway on every episode. And most importantly, you do have to go to the video description on YouTube, find the web form link that's next to the word giveaway, click it, give us your basic contact information. We'll run a randomizer, post the results publicly, reach out to the winners, get your shipping information, and get you your samples out to you absolutely for free. And if you like this content, you want to support the channel, there's 3 ways, the first of which is Patreon. And everyone's names you see on the screen right now are contributing at the top 3 levels, and you should thank them, because you wouldn't be watching this video without them. But if you're thinking, Randy, I can't afford all of that money on a monthly basis, I understand. That's why I have Patreon levels for every level, every budget. You will be able to find something that fits well into your budget if you want to support us, and we would love to have that support. Plus, there's a lot of Patreon benefits, so check that out. But if you don't want to join Patreon, that's fine. You can go to bourbonrealtalk.com and pick up some merch that was designed by whiskey people for whiskey people, and it can be customized with our lasers. In fact, if you have your own brand, you can put your brand on it. If you have your own club and your own following or your own content creation system or whatever, we can take your logo and put it on our merch on a custom one-off build site that is for your people. You send it out to them. We'll manufacture the products with your logo on it, send it directly out to them, and then we have a nice revenue share agreement to partner with you on. So if you want information about that, we'd love to talk with you. And last but not least, I am a residential real estate agent in the Dallas and Houston metro areas. If you need service in any of those markets, I'd love to hear from you. I do give epic bottles as closing gifts to those that I meet in the whiskey world. So you can find links to support all three ways in the video description on YouTube. And if this is your first time tuning into the channel, I'd love to tell you a little bit about our show philosophy and why we do what we do. And it's because of you. It's because of people. I lost a loved one to suicide, and I found out that he was missing connection in his life. And I saw how whiskey creates connection. And I thought maybe if I get you connected to whiskey, whiskey will do the rest of the job and get you connected to others. So I created this channel, but we ended up creating Bourbon Real Talk Community because if you want connection, you do have to be able to interact with others. And some of the forums had negativity in it that we didn't like. So we created a troll-free environment. And it was so successful and the vibes are so nice in there, we were able to start a 501c3 suicide prevention and intervention nonprofit named livestayproject.org, all administered inside the whiskey enthusiast world. And if you work in the suicide prevention space and you know of an organization that's a 501c3 that needs money, we have a web form on our website at livestayproject.org. You can fill out and request a grant, and we do have funds to give, so check that out. One of the other things that we learned as we went through this process is that negativity online showed that some people hate strangers online. And we figured if they can hate a stranger online, we can love one online. And that's why we end every episode the same way, and that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that I love you. And I'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk. Cheers.